The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello, everybody. Welcome once again to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you, and this is Tuesday that we're coming to you. Tuesday, May 23rd, Tuesday week of the Dean and DeLuca Invitational. So we've stayed in the Metroplex, if you will, and shifted gears from the Byron Nelson Championship over in Las Colinas, and now we're over at Colonial and inside the media center here. Big show headed your way. We got Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf joining us in just a little bit. Also, Art Selinger, who we've had on a number of times. Of course, Art, former long drive champion, and he is now in the middle of one of the more interesting stories here at the Dean and DeLuca Invitational, and that is his student, if you will, Jamie Sadlowski, is a two-time world long drive champion, and he is in the field. This is the biggest tournament Jamie's ever played in. He is a former, because he's not doing it anymore, long drive competitor, but he's been working for the last year or two on his overall game to the point where he got invited to this tournament. He's working Art's more his manager, if you will, and Peter Costas in Scottsdale, who everybody's familiar with, is working on his game. So Jamie's got some good people around him, and we'll see how things go for Jamie. But we'll talk with Art about it. Jamie's out on the golf course right now getting a few practice holes in. We've had some rain early on here in the Fort Worth area, and it's drying up now, but they had to come off the course, the early guys that were getting some practice in, warm up some more, and now they'll go back out in the afternoon and later this morning to play a little bit. So we'll get an update from Art on exactly what we could expect from Jamie Sadlowski. But this is a guy who, again, will outdrive everybody in every field he plays if he plays in more PGA Tour events. He's that long. The question is, will he have the rest of the game to go with it? Frank Bassett joins us, as always, from the Nashville studios. How's everything in Nashville, Frankie?
Yahoo! It's all good.
It's good?
I'm here. It's all good. I wish I was there. That's for sure. Hey, you're talking about Peter Costas working with Jamie. I mean, you know, we've got one of the top teachers in the world on the line with us today. Come on.
Peter Costas is on the phone right now with us?
No. Steve Johnson is on the phone with us right now.
Oh, that other top instructor. That's right. Stevie Ray J from a partner with Hank Haney Golf is with us. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Hey, guys. I'm playing hard
to get.
He's
not going to talk.
Yeah, I didn't answer his phone calls.
He's playing hard to get. He won't help Jamie.
Good for you. Yeah, good for you. I don't blame you. He's working.
Steve's working with me now to get my game tournament ready for my member guest. Yeah.
Yeah.
God bless you,
my
Steve.
My strategy working out, Tim.
It's working good. Yeah. Give up on Jamie. Go with Frank. It'll be interesting. You know, by the way, you know, Jamie moved to Scottsdale. He was in the midst of doing his long drive stuff, and he moved to Scottsdale. He's a Canadian by birth. And that's where he started playing with some different guys, and a lot of them were tour players that live in the Scottsdale area. And they, of course, would play with him, and they were fascinated by his length. But then they started also encouraging him, saying, Jamie, you've got a really good all-around game. You got to hone things up and work on them. But you could. So that is really what kind of gave him the confidence. He's 27 years old. It's a little late, usually, for him to get, for somebody at that age, to get onto the PGA Tour for the first time. But that's the confidence that those guys gave him is what really got him started saying, well, maybe. So that's been the last couple of years. He's worked on it. He's played some web.com tournaments, made the cut. Played in some Asian Tour events, made the cut. So slow increments and some encouragement, but here we are, and we'll see it. Again, it's going to be his biggest tournament that he's ever played in. Steve, is that highly unusual, I'm sure, for a long drive guy like that? Your level of confidence in him doing it, nothing personal against Jamie, but do you think out of 10 he's got a 3-in-10 chance, a 5-in-10 chance that he could get some kind of status on the tour or compete to some level on the tour?
Well, that's saying something that he did make some cuts on the web.com because those guys are really good too, Tim. I mean, you see the web.com guys that get a chance to play on the PGA Tour, the guys that are winning on the web.com, they immediately come up and they contend. I mean, we see Wes Bryant, the kid last year who got the promotion through the three victories on the web.com, and he's done well. I mean, he's already won on the PGA Tour. So, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if Jamie Sadlowski, you know, if he can play, there's room for him on the PGA Tour. Now, he will be a real popular player, one of the most popular, because people love to see the long ball. I mean, they just love it. That's one of the reasons John Daly was such a a big attraction back in the day. So, I mean, I hope the best for him. I hope he does well. You know, we've seen the Dean and DeLuca, the old Colonial National Invitational, is innovative in the way that they invite their guests. You know, it's a limited field event. They have 136 players. And to be invited in that setting is that's a great way to start your PGA Tour career. And then we remember Annika Sorenstam got a start at that tournament.
Sure.
So I'm looking forward to seeing how he does.
And just as an example, and I think Frank, you and I talked about it last week, we were kind of previewing a little bit of the Dean and DeLuca. When he's come here and played in this as practice rounds here at Colonial, Jamie Sedlowski, the numbers he's put up, if you have to know the golf course, but the yardage he hits off of some of these tees, it closes in on 400 yards. So when he really cranks it, and if you ask him about his long drive career, like a lot of those guys that do that for a living, they've all hit it well over 400 yards. And Jamie will probably tell you the longest he ever hit one in competition, he'll say something like 470, 475, not 375, 475. It's mind-boggling. So if he can really rear back and do that, he'll be on par fives. Par fives will be par fours. He'll hit nine irons in almost every par five, if not a wedge. He hit a wedge in his practice round here on a number one, which is a 600-yard par five. It has a dog leg, and he cut the dog leg and knocked it into a wedge, the driver wedge from 600 yards.
For me to go 475, my golf cart has to be recharged. I mean, come on.
I was going to say, I need to refill my car. Yeah,
boy.
It's crazy.
Wow.
Hey, so Steve, you're right. The popularity, and we can go back, I'm sure, even before John Daly, but a lot of us will remember John Daly kind of catching everybody's attention. Then Tiger stepped in, and his power got everybody's attention. But the game of golf and fans of golf have always been fascinated with the big bombers. Not so much the guys who can putt well. I mean, Ben Crenshaw got a lot of credit for all that stuff in one tournament, certainly. But, boy, the fans turn out when they can. And so is in your mind, and I know you're not coaching him, but in your mind, is it the challenge for Jamie to not try to be too macho, if you will, and if it calls for a three-wood or a driving iron on a hole, to not try to drive a green just because he might be able to? Is that going to be a big challenge for him?
It may be. It just really depends on the rough out there, Tim. I haven't been out there yet this week. Sometimes the Colonial has really tall rough, but the rough is just starting to grow, or the Bermuda grass is just starting to grow here in this area. So this could be a perfect venue for him because the golf course is an old-school golf course, and what I mean by that, it has parallel fairways. There is not a lot of room between fair. You can hit it all over the place and still be in good condition. I mean, the only out-of-bounds is along the perimeter of the golf course. It's an in-and-out type golf course, and there's a lot of opportunities. Although there's only two par fives, hole number one and hole number 11, there are some long par fours and dog legs where he could really take advantage of his length. And I'm just going to be interested to see how he does because this is really the first time that we've seen a long drive guy compete at this type of level.
Yeah, will be interesting. It is the first time we've seen that.
You know, guys, you forget, too. I mean, interestingly enough, talking about the big bombers, I mean, when Freddie Couples came out, he was, you know, boom, boom. And
sure.
Craig Stadler was a bomber, and that was the big thing. But people forget how long Davis Love III was.
Sure, yeah.
He was very long, too, no doubt about it. I think we're kind of bearing the lead here, though. Because Jamie Sedlowski is a big story, but an even bigger story, Tim, and you've heard it out there, is Lance Burrow announced it last night that Tony Romo will be in the booth. He will be on the 18 booth. And
really? I didn't announce it because I never heard that.
I didn't know that.
Where did you hear that?
I read it on breaking news from NBC DFW Reports.
Really?
Are you guys not part of the media?
Are you making this up? Are you making it up or being serious?
What's up with you guys? What are you guys doing?
I was out at dinner last night.
No, are you being serious or are you messing around?
This is the breaking news that Lance Burrow did announce last night that Romo would be part of the team that covers the Dean and DeLuca. He said he will be at the 18 booth and be the
with
first
Nance
time he'll have his CBS Sports Blazer on.
He'll be in there with Lance and Feldo?
Lance said that he thinks he could be the next John Madden on our hands.
Oh, see, now you're just full of...
In quotes.
See, No, he didn't.
Oh, Lord. We're off the rail. Really?
Steve's making all this up.
No, he's not. This is kind of like Paul Stankowski.
I can't believe you guys. You guys call yourself media?
Not really.
No, I've never claimed that.
Not really.
Yeah.
We just call into your show on SiriusXM PGA Radio, the Hank Haney Golf Show. Yeah.
I've got all kinds of breaking news stuff.
That's the breaking news this morning, Tim.
That's cool.
Tony Romo will be out there, and he'll be announcing. It'll be a comfortable setting for him. I hope Jordan Spieth is the defending champion of the Dean and DeLuca. So hopefully he'll make it to the weekend. And a lot of good stories out there. I mean, you've got Jamie Sedlowski.
Billy Horschel coming over from what he did over at the AT&T Byron Nelson.
Right. First time he's won in four years, Billy Horschel, which was amazing.
Yeah, the last time was the Tour Championship. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. That had to surprise you. He'd missed four straight cuts going into the Byron Nelson even, and so nobody in their right mind would have thought Billy Horschel would win that tournament. It just shows you, I guess, and you certainly know as an instructor, how quickly that faucet can be turned on and turned off again, that you're playing well and then suddenly you can't make a cut, then you're missing every cut, and you not only make the cut, you win the tournament, and you win in a playoff against a top four player in the world. I mean, it's pretty fascinating stuff. I mean, it's really interesting to see how Billy Horschel played and how that game, I guess psychologically, Steve, what do you attribute to that? A guy who is struggling, missing cuts, suddenly wins an entire tournament.
Well, he talked about it afterward, Tim. He said that, you know, he'd been working hard for the last 4 years trying to get another victory, and he says it got very discouraging because he was working so hard and he couldn't see much in the way of better results, and he just kept sticking with it. He gave his team a bunch of credit. Todd Anderson is his swing coach, and he mentioned another guy. I don't know who he is. He may have been his strength coach or his personal trainer or short game guru. I'm not really sure, but he just stuck with it. And now Billy Horschel is an emotional player. He's a guy. He has a lot of enthusiasm. He almost reminds me of kind of a wrestler type. Mentality that he has. He's very visual in his enthusiasm or his frustration. He took a lot of heat at the Players' Championship for tossing his putter. He chipped one ball in. He hadn't been playing very well at the Players. And he chipped a ball in, and he thought it would be funny to toss his putter to his caddy, and I think he hit his caddy. He took a lot of heat for that, but it was
he did.
There was no malice in it.
No.
It was just bad judgment. But I tell you what, I've got a lot of respect for Billy Horschel, because when Billy Horschel 4 years ago, when he won the FedEx Cup, and he cashed that $10 million check, the first thing he did was wrote his caddy a check for well over $1 million, which is saying a lot, because you know they have a deal, and I can certainly see that. Some players would say, hey, you know, gosh, that's a lot of money. I'm going to give you a good paycheck, but not that good. But I'm telling you what, I respect him for living up to his commitments.
Yeah, that was really cool when he did do that. Again, we're talking with Steve Johnson, managing partner at Hank Haney Golf. Another guy I'm curious about, Steve, your opinion, is the defending champion here. We talked about it, Jordan Spieth, struggling with his game as well and struggled at the Byron Nelson. It's still ironic that his best round, his best tournament ever at the Byron Nelson was when he was in high school. Since then, which he finished tied for 16th, he's never done better than that. It's just obviously not a course that suits him for whatever reason. But he comes last year after not playing that great at the Byron Nelson and wins Colonial. But sure enough, he seems to have some more swing issues getting into this tournament and getting ready for this tournament. What do you see in Jordan's swing?
Well, you know, the big talk last week was about his change in putter. And I'd mentioned back when I'd heard about it that if he's got a game plan that he's working on and he sticks with that putter, no big deal. But if he's looking for magic in terms of a club, and we see players do that sometimes. Hey, I just need to look at something differently. I need to look at a different putter. I don't have the mojo anymore. That's not a place you want to be as a player, depending on and hoping that you find the right putter for that week. I don't think that's where he is. I think he's got a game plan. Really surprised me, 3-under going into 16 on Friday, and just fires two of them almost off the roof dead right. In fact, right. The second one, he reached for the ball, put his hand out for another ball for his from his caddy, Michael Greller, because he knew that that second one was out of bounds, too. Very, very surprising. Now, he did back it up, but he had not a real good birdie putt on 16, but he knocked a really tough shot up on 17, the par 3, had about a 12-foot birdie putt that he missed, and knocked it up there about 9, 10 feet on 18 for birdie. Either one of those putts would have gotten him on the weekend, but he didn't make either one of those putts. It just looked like he had a little bit of distance control problems with his putter. I know he's working hard. He wants to get ready for the majors. We've got the U.S. Open coming up mid-June. So he's got great memories of the Dean and DeLuca last year. So, I mean, that may be all it takes to get him going.
We're talking with Steve Johnson, managing partner at Hank Haney Golf, and talking about the Dean and DeLuca Invitational. Is it and we talked about this before, as far as scheduling goes, Steve, is the Dean and DeLuca just in kind of a precarious spot on the schedule because you've got Memorial next week, which a lot of guys want to play in Jack's tournament, and so they'll put that on their schedule. Then you've got another one that's take it or leave it, a FedEx, the St. Jude Classic that some will play, some won't, but then you've got the U.S. Open. So a lot of the top guys have that U.S. Open in mid-June on their calendar is, okay, what am I going to do to get ready for that? Does that make it tough if you're a Dean and DeLuca Invitational and you're the tournament chairman trying to get a good field here? Phil Mickelson just told him last week that he is in the field, so he's here this week. But that was a late addition for the Dean and DeLuca. Is it tough for these pros to always, you know, and for the tournaments to know when the pros are going to want to play in your tournament? If you fall in the wrong place, it's hard to get a good field, isn't it?
It is, and you know, the TPC at Las Colinas was not typically is one of the least liked courses on the PGA Tour. They had a survey that came out back in March, Tim, and again, it was one of the lowest ranked courses among the PGA Tour players. It was an anonymous survey, and right. You know what? When you don't like the course and the weather's bad, now they get treated nicely. They love the venue in terms of the way the tournament's run, but the course is not one of
right
their
there.
Favorites. And I just think the changed dates on the DFW tournaments. We have 7 tournaments here in the Texas area this year. We have 5 tournaments in the Texas area. And it's a lot. And plus, they're just getting into the thunderstorm season, and they've got a lot of golf left with, you know, you look toward the end of the season, you've got the President's Cup, you've got the FedEx Cup, you've got 47 weeks of tournaments plus these special events in the President's Cup. They got a lot of golf ahead. This is the 29th week of the PGA Tour out of 47 weeks. So this is kind of the dog days, you know?
It's a bunch.
We're
it's
talking
a bunch. And, you brought that up, the FedEx St. Jude Classic. I mean, it's a tournament that's near and dear to my heart because of I used to volunteer at St. Jude Hospital when I grew up in that area. And you're right, though. But they set that course up in Memphis prepping for the U.S. Open. I mean, Phil, of course, is there every year. He was there last year. So I don't know. But
Houston did for the Masters.
No,
I mean,
you're right.
Phil will be there and a few that like playing the week before. But this is a new course. Aaron Hills is a new course. You're going to see a lot of players getting there early.
Yeah.
It's a long course. They can stretch it out almost 8,000 yards. Mike Davis is an article in Golf Digest just came out this month that Mike Davis was talking about that he thinks the greens are too fast at golf courses, and that's one of the reasons golf has taken a hit. And so it'll be interesting to see with those comments, is it going to be a do as I say or do as I do in terms of getting the golf course in such a volatile position where the greens are going to be, you know, can be on edge. They even talked about it at the Players' Championship where the people that were running the tournament lost the golf course in the afternoon of Sunday. It was just too hard and fast. So we'll wait and see. The new venue being at Erin Hills is going to be interesting to see what kind of – I know Memorial will get a great following, will get a great field. But after that, I think St. Jude is is going to be one of those tournaments that's going to be hurting, just like Colonial is this yeah. week for the top players.
And, you know, speaking of the FedEx real quick, I just want to shout out to for our listeners, Phil Cannon, long time tournament director, passed away this past year for the FedEx St. Jude Classic. Great guy. And so he's gone now. God bless his soul. So we're thinking about you, Phil.
Hey, Steve, what's going to be rough for you not being here so far this week, and Frank, you not being able to come at all, is the title sponsor, as you may have caught on, is Dean and DeLuca. And I'm going to be quite honest with you. The food for the Colonial, coming off of the food you get at the Four Seasons for the Byron Nelson, wasn't quite the same. And now Dean and DeLuca, oh, my God, have they upped the game. So the food for both you guys is going to be sad that you're going to miss out on some of that.
Well,
Dean
and DeLuca have a brick and mortar presence in the state of Texas yet?
They're building some right as we speak. Yes, their first ones I think will open in the summer.
Well, sir,
they're building in Dallas. I think they're building three right now, and I think their plan was, if I remember right, something like in the next 5 years they're going to have 20 or 25 of them in the state of Texas.
Well,
so that's a big part of why they wanted to get into this game.
Well, you know, in our entire sponsorship portfolio for Golf Talk America and our shows, our family of shows, there's an opening for a food provider. So, you know, if you have a chance
that'll deliver
while you're
to
there,
your house.
Tim, yes, if you have a chance while yeah. you're there, send food, send money, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, we'll do it. Well, I know Steve's first question to me when I was driving out here is, what kind of food they can have? Not any of the other breaking news that Steve's always good. And by the way, Steve, just so you know, you little rug rat, you think I'm not following up on your
– nice.
He's not – Tony Romo is not – I mean, this is just a little bit of fake news here that he's making his broadcast debut. That's in air quotes. He's speaking at Colonial tonight in a fundraiser charity event. And since he's going to – I'm sorry, not tonight, on Sunday of next week. Since he's going to be there, they said he's going to join them up in the booth. So to say this is his official first broad, he's been in the booth before. He's been interviewed before. This is kind of the same thing. He's not really doing broadcasting per se. He's just going to be up there, and Nance and Faldo are going to talk to him a little bit.
There's nothing like throwing our guests under the bus. You're a nice guy.
No,
Tim.
Not when it comes to Steve. No.
Oh, God.
I sound like I don't know
really?
What I'm doing
Tim,
here. I'll
I'm
tell you.
Here. I'm reading here in quotes from Lance Burrow.
I am too.
Romo will be in the announce booth at 18 for a few moments. And it will be the first time that he will have the CBS Sports blazer on. I think he's going to do great. I think we have the next John Madden on our hands, end quotes.
Hey, yeah, there you go.
I got you,
Tim.
But that's what I'm saying. For a few moments, he's just going up there to say, hi, I'm here. He's not there to broadcast. I don't want people to think he's going to be calling shots in golf. He's there because he's now officially a CBS guy. He's there because he's doing a party.
Tim, did you have a bad night?
Frank, this is what happens when Tim is one-upped. Tim just tries to throw you under the bus on the air.
Unbelievable.
This is what happens. Beware. Beware of this.
Oh, I know.
This happens all the time.
I know. I know about Tim Matthews. He's that way.
This happens all the time.
He's that way.
This is what he does.
Steve, call him One Ear because he has Sure is our official broadcast partner. Sure microphones, yes. Headphones, and all that. Tim has the new equipment there. He has the new Sure headset on that he's lost one of the earpieces. So he cut out a ring of foam. So we're going to call him One Ear. Tim One Ear.
Well, I look like I've had a serious head injury.
There's a 50% chance that he's wearing my credentials right now, going through the line, taking seconds.
Are you wearing Steve Johnson's
credentials?
You have Golf Talk America credentials. You have PGA Tour credentials. What are you doing?
I am totally wearing Steve's media pass. I have to fess up to that because there was confusion in the media center when I had to get my credentials. And I said, well, does Steve Johnson have it? And he goes, well, yeah, they have Steve. I said, well, let me have his. So
oh,
they gave
nice.
Me Steve's. I said, I'll get him to Steve, which he'll never see now. And so I had to get in. I had to have some credential. And so I am wearing Steve Johnson. It's not a photo, though.
People that don't know what you look like but know your name as one of the top instructors in the world. He could ruin your entire career with that badge.
I'm gonna go on the practice range and work with some guys.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, man. Like, well, I tell you what, I wish I was there with you, Tim.
I wish you were too, Steve.
Because the food is coming. I do, too. It would be fun. You'd see me in my deformed headsets.
Okay.
I look like the Elephant Man. I got one ear that's, like, blown up. It's, like, three times larger than it should be. but I'll get by. I'll get by. Frank's gonna mail me the other one.
On Spieth? I mean, we got Mike. What's your take on Spieth? Do you think he's in a panic situation right now, or do you think he's just in one of those little lulls?
I think he's in a bit of a panic because of the fact of who he now is and who he quickly established himself as, and that is going to be, for better or worse, his burden for the rest of his career. That, you know, the thought may have happened to him, if not now, but in 2 years or 4 years, if he hasn't won another major, did I do my very, very best right out of the gate? And am I never going to? And that would be a tough burden to carry. Like, okay, at 21, I was my best. That's when I did it. So I don't know. And I think some of that pressure is self-induced, certainly. It's not like the rest of the world's going, oh, you're no good anymore. But I think it's he looks at it and says, wow, I should be better than this. I should be playing better than this. And so I think he does. He certainly has the skills. We know that. But the swing is just not as solid as it needs to be, as groove. We see it when you watch him play. He hits a lot of shots, and you see him do the whole, you know, disgusted look. And sometimes it's not that bad, but he doesn't seem to really be on top of his game, and hasn't been, well, at least since AT&T. So back in January is the last time I saw him hitting it really well. That's a long gap for a guy like that.
He also has a logo on his bag and commercials on TV. That's a pretty heavy-duty sponsorship that he's carrying on his back, too. So that adds some pressure, I would think.
Yeah, because they're paying him a lot of money, and he wants Under Armour and AT&T and the others to be proud of him. And certainly at his tournament last week, and I say his tournament, that AT&T is the title sponsor, and that's his big sponsor. They would have expected and liked to see him on the weekend. So, yeah, even though nobody's going to say anything, like you're a failure, he's going to feel that, like, wow, I let some people down. And that's a burden. That's tough, you know, to overcome that. So I think he does put a lot of probably some undue pressure, not unlike a lot of these golfers do. But yeah, I'm a bit concerned, and I hope he kind of gets it together and has at least a good tournament here at the Dean and DeLuca heading for the Open. I want to see him in contention. I think he's great for the game. Most people do, but he needs to be in contention. He's got to be one of those guys. You think of Billy Horschel we talked about. Well, he quickly faded, didn't he, after he had such a phenomenal year. Jason Duffner is another guy who played well and then kind of faded, and we know that happens. If you're going to be great, and Tiger maybe being the benchmark, it has to be a consistency. You have to continually be that level of player, a top 2, 3, 4, 5 player. You can't kind of just move around and you can, but that's a Bubba Watson kind of thing, right? Where you miss a lot of cuts and you're playing pretty great and then you miss some more. I think Spieth expects more of himself. Did that answer your question?
Well, I'm anxious to see how he does. I think he'll do pretty good this week because he's coming off a couple disappointments the last couple of weeks. I mean, missing two cuts in a row is not like him.
No.
All right, Steve, we appreciate the time, and I appreciate you giving me some tips. Please call anytime you have any more breaking news that you'd like to let us know here in Golf Talk America.
Hey, Steve.
I'll call you with the breaking news, and then you can correct me.
Steve, call the media center right now and say, someone has stolen my badge.
I'll be escorted out by the
Tim,
media police.
I hope to see you at Colonial.
Take care.
I will be here.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, Steve.
Okay. Bye-bye.
See you, bud.
Bye.
Steve Johnson, managing partner at Hank Haney Golf.
Too funny.
Oh, man,
You're wearing half a headset, Steve Johnson's credentials. Boy, we're a first-class operation here, aren't we?
I know. One sleeve's off my shirt. I know. I got nothing going for me. Oh, I look like a complete mess out here.
You're doing the Jay Bush. You're doing the Jay Bush anti-Bush thing, right, where he has the tattoos and the beard and the whole thing, the biker look.
Yeah,
there you go.
Are you sure you're supposed to be here, mister? Are they all coming up to me? So, all right, well, I got a text from Mr. Selinger while we were on the air saying that Jamie Sadlowski, his guy, had just teed off. So we're still going to get Art hopefully to come aside a little bit while he's praying, watching Jamie practice a little bit to talk to us. So let's take a break right now, and we'll try to get Art on and break away while he's watching Jamie and see if we can get an update on what's going on with him and a little bit more here at the Dean and DeLuca Invitational at Colonial. When we come back, you're listening to Golf Talk America on PGA Tour Radio. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews, not in the studios. We're in our Fort Worth studios as we're at the Dean and DeLuca Invitational in Fort Worth. The practice round today, it is Tuesday, May 23rd, and Frank Bassett in the Nashville studios. And on the line with us now is Art Selinger. Long Drive, former Long Drive champion, and Mr. Long Drive, as far as I'm concerned, and he's there, as we talked about earlier, because one of the guys that he has been very close with the last several years, two-time World Long Drive champion, Jamie Sadlowski, has a little practice round going on out at Colonial. Art, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. The rain just cleared, and out watching on the fifth hole of the horrible horseshoe, and goodness sakes, imagine have to par this hole for your life. I think 95% of the population would be dead. The other 5% would run.
I think you're probably right. And you're out there watching. Who's he playing with, by the way? Who's Jamie got his practice round with today?
He's with Wesley Bryan and John Rahm. So it's a pretty relaxed pairing, nice. And they're just getting a feel for the golf course. Again, it's changed so much. You come to Colonial, and you expect it to be fast, dry, and a south wind, and it's wet, and it's a little bit chilly, and it's a north wind. So it's amazing, again, for PGA Tour players when you're used to one thing, and you totally get the opposite. So it's a total backwards golf course today.
We're talking again with Art Selinger, and the guy that he's working with in a managerial standpoint, Jamie Sadlowski. This will be Jamie's biggest tournament. He's played in Web.com. He's played in Asia and a lot of other places in the world, but playing on the PGA Tour will be a first for Jamie. So give us an idea of his mindset. Has he been relaxed leading up to this? Is he relaxed today?
Well, he came in last week and we played here three times. First off, you know, the Dean and DeLuca Invitational, they have a unique thing here. They have a champion's choice exemption. That's where they go to their past champions that have ever won Colonial, and they put, you know, a couple dozen guys on the ballot, and they say, hey, check some boxes here. You guys get two votes each. Who would you like to see get a spot? It's been a really unique history. It was given spots to rookies like Paul Azenbuehl when he was playing and guys that are just getting their starts. And got Jamie on the ballot, and next to Bo Hostler, he got the second most amount of votes, which, again, it's one thing to get a sponsor exemption, but another one for people like that to, you know, vote him in. So that it meant a lot to him, but it's still your first big league at bat, and that is a big deal here at Colonial, no less. It's not like nothing to knock another golf tournament, but this is a very big stage. It's an invitational. It's a lot of history at this golf course, and I think he's anxious. He's never scared. I mean, the guy's been hit in the face with a puck like 500 times, so he's not, like, fearful. It's just a matter of can he control himself, you know, at this stage. These guys are so seasoned, and I was just talking to somebody else and saying, look, this is – he's never signed more than 45 scorecards in his life. So this is, I think, Thursday will be round number 45 for him in his whole career. So of golf, and that's amateur, junior, high school, college, because there was none of that. So it's
right.
It's fun.
So Jamie's going to be on that stage, and a lot of people are going to be watching him, looking at what he's doing and how he's playing. He got, as you and I talked about this quite a while ago, a lot of encouragement when he moved to Scottsdale, and he played with a number of tour guys, and they kind of said, hey, you know, maybe you should concentrate on your overall game and chipping and putting and everything else. You might have a shot at this. When he came to you and was kind of saying the same things a few years ago, because not many guys, obviously, or any from the long drive world transferred into the PGA Tour or onto the PGA Tour, were you cautiously optimistic for him? Were you saying, hey, gung-ho, let's go for it? Or what advice did you give him back when he first
played? I've been
out?
Asking him for 3 years to quit doing exhibitions and long drive and play. I've always thought he could play. You know, he proved it just fooling around part-time on the web.com tour, making, you know, he made 3 out of 4 cuts. And then he made a cut in Canada. And he never really applied himself. What had to happen was a swing change in overseen that for him, and so it's a big learning curve for him to tone it down, and I'm talking about toning it down dramatically. Just had to. You can't just flail out here. You got to be able to find it, and he had to work on his wedge game, so he just doesn't have a lot of experience, so he's going to kind of have to learn on the fly. He did get his when he leaves here Sunday from all of these beautiful grand great colonial aura that this place is, he'll be going to British Columbia, and he's going to be playing in a Canadian tour event. So his summer will be in Canada. That's kind of like double-A baseball. Then he'll try to get to the web.com 2018 and then the PGA Tour in 2019. And that would be – that's fast track. That's what it takes these days, 3 years. So
right. He's
in it for the long haul, and I think he's really enjoying working at it, and we'll see how this goes.
Are you at all concerned about him in his mind wanting to put on a show or trying to – do what the crowd will want him to do, the fans that know who he is, and he gets to a tee box, and, oh, we'd love to see this guy drive a green that's 405 yards away or anything like that, or will he?
He'll never be influenced. He's always going to stay to his game plan. He has enough self-discipline for that. If it calls for driver, he's going to hit driver. And I'm standing here on six right now, and he just hit driver and mashed it. So everybody's like, well, Colonial, not a good course for him, and he plays tight course as well. I see him hitting driver here six or seven times. So, I mean, that's an aggressive deal for him. I mean, he's going to hit driver. It's one of his best weapons in his bag. He doesn't hit the driver crazy offline. If Jamie has a weakness, it's distance control with the irons and putting. And he's a good putter, but these guys are just crazy good. So, and then putting under pressure. So one thing we can do is when he comes out here with me last Thursday and he shoots 66 and he makes one bogey, and he could have shot 59. I mean, he missed everything. But it was just him and I in a cart. And unfortunately, that's not golf. Golf is Thursday morning with the leaderboards, with the pressure, and, you know, things change.
He's playing with John Rahm, who's obviously a big hitter on the tour.
Yes.
I'm kind of curious. Does there ever become any competition with some of these guys? And when you have that reputation, you're kind of the tough guy on the block, right? And you have to. He's one of those guys now. At least they're going to know this is a big bomb
on the range. I think there's really a good respect here for both parts. The fact that John Rahm in 16 months has gone from no ranking to almost top 10 in the world, and everybody knows how far Jamie's capable of hitting it, so there's an instant respect there. They're not going to come up and try to challenge him or do anything like that. So he's just trying to learn the game. So for him to think he's going to play nine holes this afternoon with Jordan Spieth, and that will be great for him to hang around Jordan. So, you know, he's just trying to soak it in because he plays with Rahm back home. They're members at Whistler Rock. Plays with Paul Casey. Plays with Graham Dillette. Jimmy Herron, several guys. So, again, Tim, it's Frank, inside the ropes golf versus outside the ropes golf are two different animals. Just amazing. Boy, amazingly different.
That is so true. Art, what's the biggest problem with this putting? Is it what's going on?
You know, I've looked at his technique because I've been on the bag, and I've basically known him the longest, you know, not only just managing over 10 years, but seen him play. I think there's, you know, a couple technique issues there, and you know, he's a make miss mindset guy, and I think he got to be a process guy. And when he doesn't make, you know, putts, then he kind of gets down on himself. Technique wise, you know, I don't know exactly what it is. It just takes so much confidence. And I think he lacks a little of the confidence in the putting. And if you miss one early, then you lose a little more confidence. So I was on the bag at the web.com school. And, I mean, had he putted just average, he'd be on the web.com tour right now. But, you know, he didn't. So he's just got to learn. I don't know who that coach is going to be for him. Or I know Peter's overseeing the golf swing and the changes there. So. But you know, some of these guys just go around to 25 putts every day, like there's no tomorrow. So
yeah, and putting too on the PGA Tour is different than putting anywhere else in the world. Those greens are like glass.
The average 12 handicapper takes 50 putts out here. They have no idea.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
and that's if they raked every 3 footer. It's just such a different world.
It really is a different world
on the putting green out here. It's just so much pressure. So he'll learn. It's great to get this first start. We'll see how he does. And you know, I think he's going to sniff the cut. I really do.
I was just going to ask you before I let you go, what would be considered a good week for him? Making the cut would be a success.
That'd be a huge success. You know, keep it under 144. If you missed the cut, you missed the cut. But keep it under 144 and hit good shots. I want this to be a confidence builder because, honestly, Canada is where it's at. You finish top five money in Canada, then you're exempt to the third stage on the web. So, you know.
Yeah.
I just like to see him play good golf, you know, not shoot big numbers and kind of hang in there and play to his ability.
Well, I'll tell you what, Art, wish him
a special year for him.
Give him our best from Golf Talk America and the whole crew here because we really want to see him do well.
I'll do it. You guys be good.
And Art, by the way, if you need some help with putting, just let him know. I got some free time. Okay. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Don't ruin his game.
It's all
Jim.
You, Matthews. All you.
All right. Yeah. Take care. Stay dry, baby. Stay dry.
Take care, Art.
All right. You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
See you. Art Selinger. I'm telling you, Frank, it's going to be a great story. And
it is. Yeah.
Going back to our Lance Burrow, our friend at CBS and all these guys, they're going to love the story if he makes the cut.
If he makes the cut, it's going to be a big story. I wish I was there. Darn it. Give me
no matter where
Southwest
he is
flight.
In the field.
I got to come. Yeah.
No matter where he is in the field, he may certainly he's not going to win this tournament. It would be shocking beyond belief. But to see almost like what John Daly did out of nowhere and hit the ball so much further than any of these guys would be a really cool thing. So we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. We've given him a lot of pub. We've helped any way we can to let people know about it. So hopefully anybody listening, keep listening. SiriusXM's coverage of the tournament over the weekend. CBS will be covering it over the weekend, so watch, and maybe you'll see something you haven't seen before because, again, his distance is beyond the John Rahms, Jason Days, and Dustin Johnson. And if he's on, and when I've gone to been a part of the long drive events, and you've got a 50-yard grid, if you will, like fairway that they hit it into, Frank, and a lot of these guys, you get either a clock, so you hit as many as you can in 2 minutes, or you get six balls, whichever format it is. They'll hit one in, and that's all they're trying to do. One or two, let me just get one or two. The other ones are flying off the planet. Jamie hits everything in. Now, some are longer. Some are 420. Some are 390. Some are 38. But they're all in. So when Art says that, he's not lying.
Well, that's the key.
That's why Art knew he could play, because he is very accurate, which is amazing for guys that hit it that far. Usually you spray it all over and you get one out of whatever in. You know?
Get out there. Get out there this afternoon. If he's going to play with Jordan this afternoon, you should get out there and walk with him.
Yeah, I think I will.
You can give us some insight on Wednesday's show or Thursday's show, whatever.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
all right, I'm
going to
go up there now and catch you because he's coming into 9 here in a little bit. And 9,
well,
just being an old school course, everything's out and in, back and forth. So 9's just like outside my door here. So I'm going to go see him coming in.
He could drive
the green on 9.
They're playing the music.
Oh, they're playing the music.
They're playing the music.
So oh, my God.
They're trying to get us out of here.
That's the end of this one. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We do appreciate it. Thanks to Steve Johnson of Hankini Golf and Art Selinger for being with us today. And on behalf of Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for being with us, everybody. And please join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.